you. We depend upon you. Do what you can to support WBAI right now. Call our pledge line. We are standing by for you, waiting for you right now. That is, people at the call center, they're standing by waiting to take your calls at 212-209-2950, or go to our website, WBAI.org. You'll be able to navigate your way to find out how to contribute. That's WBAI.org. Coming up next, On the Ground with Esther Iverum.
Washington, D.C., this is On the Ground. 2 weeks after the U.S. Congress disgraced itself by denying freight railroad workers 7 days of sick leave, rail workers and their supporters rallied on Capitol Hill and across the country for what they said is a basic human right.
We do live in the richest country on the face of the planet, and no worker should have to choose between their health and a paycheck.
And the denial of these rights to workers was made by rich corporate lawmakers who have unlimited sick days and platinum health care plans paid for by the tax dollars of American people.
The billionaires in this country have never had it so good, while workers in terms of wages and working conditions are falling further behind.
When we fight,
we win!
When we fight,
we win!
Welcome to On the Ground, onthegroundshow.org, voices of resistance from the nation's capital. I'm Esther Iverum. Well, members of the International Association of Sheet Metal, Air, Rail, and Transportation Workers and their supporters rallied on Capitol Hill on Tuesday, December 13th, to say the fight is not over for the basic right to have sick leave. These rail workers labor under hazardous conditions for freight rail corporations making billions in record profits. On December 1st, the Senate defeated legislation already passed in the House, which would have ensured that freight rail workers had 7 days of sick leave. And they voted to force workers to accept a contract with only one sick day annually, already rejected by a majority of the workers. The rally was also timed to coincide with hearings held by the Surface Transportation Board investigating the Union Pacific Corporation, and as the Federal Railroad Administration is investigating the corporate practice of staffing freight trains with only one conductor. A statement from the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO said, quote, "With no sick leave for workers, rail companies' greedy business operating model known as precision scheduled railroading has devastated the nation's rail labor workforce and pushed the U.S. supply chain to the brink twice since September," end quote. For this hour, we will hear a variety of voices from workers, labor leaders, and members of Congress rallying on Capitol Hill and vowing to continue the fight for what feels like a bellwether case for labor rights in the United States. We begin with Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington State, Mark Diamonstein, President of the American Postal Workers Union, Jared Cassidy, National Legislative Director for the International Association of Sheet Metal, Air, Rail, and Transportation Workers, and Representative Jamal Bowman of New York.
Thank you.
We are going to fight to make sure that our rail workers have two on a crew, that workers Woo! Have 6 days, have mission is. In the Congressional Progressive Caucus, we have over 100 members. We stood up strong for you. We will continue to do that.
Yeah. Woo! 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 Woo!
Woo! Woo! really gets my goat is these numbers. Last year, the seven major railway companies in our country raked in $27 billion in profits. Six of them spent more than $146 billion on stock buybacks and dividends. Worker pay only increased by 14% thanks to the great negotiation that you all did in the contract, but CEOs doubled their salaries. And as they raked in profits, rail companies laid off 30% of the workforce over the past 6 years. So much with too little. And so I'm here to say that our members have been standing strong. We know that we want to be in solidarity with you as you continue to negotiate contracts that lift people up, that you continue to negotiate contracts that allow you to take care of your families and be safe. We had railway accidents over in the western part of the country where I'm from. I think just about every member of Congress has seen that your safety is compromised right now, because we do not have enough people on crew to stand there and be able to take even time off to be able to take care of your health and to be able to work shifts that allow you to fully pay attention to what you're doing. It's not right. And so I'm here to say that on behalf of our over 100 members, we're about half of the Democratic caucus now, the Progressive caucus, very, very proud that we are always at the center of fighting for unions, fighting for the PRO Act, fighting for collective bargaining, fighting for rights on the job, fighting for fair wages, for fair benefits, because, brothers and sisters, we do not have a scarcity problem in the United States of America. We have a corporate greed problem.
Yeah!
So we are going to continue to be here on the fight with you. I want you to know that we are standing strong. You can count on us. 6 days for signalmen, people over profit, support rail workers. We are with you 100%.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Thank you.
Every worker should have paid sick leave.
That's yeah.
And the people of this country deserve the safest possible trains coming through our communities, right?
Yeah.
So we're proud to stand with you. You were there. Just like so many other workers and postal workers and so many others throughout this tragic pandemic, essential workers lauded, supported, and we're not going to put up with being called essential one day and expendable the next day.
Yeah!
Look, we also need to tell it like it is.
There you go.
Congress was wrong to put their finger on the scale for these robber baron railroad CEOs and their billions of dollars of profit, and put their finger on the scale for the corporations and against the workers.
That's right.
But now Congress can fix it. And that's right. Where we're out here in part today to demand the unfinished work that they should have done to begin with. They took away your power. They took away your leverage. But it's not gone. You know that, and we know that. So again, we're proud to stand with you. We're proud to be out here with you. And you say it after me. I'll say union. You say power. Union.
Power.
Union.
Power.
Let's switch it. Power.
Union.
Power. Union.
Union.
Solidarity.
For yeah.
Thank you. 60,000 tons every single day, and they're wanting to cut the crew on those trains so that they can make more profit. What does that train do to the communities that go through there? It blocks the crossings forever. It literally severs communities and publics. And where the housings and neighborhoods are, people are blocked off forever. If something happens to that train, and we all know something's going to happen to that train because we've all been out there as railroaders, we know that the trains do not operate safely every single day. There is always something that's going to happen that's going to throw us off the course or throw us off the ball. That's why two people are important. But if that train does stop and it stops on crossings, who cuts the crossing so the people can go through? The conductor. The very first person they're trying to take off the train and put into a vehicle. They're going to expose you to more traffic, more congestion on the highway, to weather. They're going to increase your odds of risk in a car versus a train. A train is 1,000% safer than a vehicle, but they want to risk you so they can make another dime. Tomorrow that hearing takes place. That's why we march today. We march because of PSR. We march because of two-person crews. We are tired of taking it every single day from these railroads and cutting us off in quality of life. dignity and respect is what we demand. It's what we're going to get it. We're going to stay here as long as we have to stay here. Now, literally, Capitol Police will kick us out. But we're going to keep fighting, and we're going to keep fighting. We are not going away. Real labor has just woke up from a long sleep, and I swear to God, we are not going anywhere. We're going to get louder. We're going to get stronger, and we're going to kick their freaking teeth in. Here we go.
Thank you, Brother Jared. I work closely with Brother Jared. He works tirelessly on this. I want to add to our conversation on precision scheduled railroading, but first, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank people like Congressman Boone. If we didn't thank people like Congresswoman Bush, who were two of the people who stood up for us, saying, we will not pass anything without work days, sick days for railroad workers. We have Saul from Congresswoman Bush's office back here, Congressman Bowman. We heard from Congressman Garcia, Chairman Payne, all of these people who had our backs because they know what it's about. And they know we cannot perform our jobs correctly if we're sick. And right now with PSR, it's hard to perform our jobs when we are well. As Jared said, we're stretched, banjo string tight. Actually, tighter than a banjo string. We are below a skeleton crew. So what does that do to us? It frightens us. Because sometimes to be able to get the rigorous testing and inspections done that the FRA requires, it's impossible for us to get them done and do them as prescribed in the regulations. So we fear that out of fear of being disciplined or just being sick at work, you don't perform your best. Our members are not able to do those tests and inspections properly, which endangers every one of our members here. The train crews. We have somebody who's tired, makes a mistake. Maybe they get a bad signal, causes something bad to happen. It endangers our BMW EGOCs. Maintenance away, they rely on those signals being safe as they're out there. Everything that moves on those tracks that is governed by a signal, we have to be at our best to make sure those signals are operating properly. I want to thank Jared and Smart for organizing this, BLET and BMWE, BRS. We are going to be here to the end. We are going to be at the forefront of this fight. And thank everybody for coming out here. This is a very important cause, and we are going to win. What do we want?
Safety!
When do we want it?
Now!
How are you, sir? You can tell me your name and your job and why you're out here today.
My name's Jim Carnes. I'm from Lodge 3005 out of Perryville, Maryland. I'm out here to try and help my brothers in the union to get sick leave. I used to be an auto worker for 14 years before I came here. When I first came to the railroad, I thought I hit the lottery. My plant shut down. I came here. And then as I started to work, I realized there's no sick leave, no sick days for guys who work in the rain, the snow, 24/7. It's ridiculous. I'm here to help these guys fight, help my brothers fight to try and get what's a basic human right. Sick days and good quality health care.
You work on a railroad yourself, though?
I do work for a railroad.
You're a driver?
No, sir.
What do they call them? Conductors?
I'm an M&W repairman. I fix the equipment that helps fix the railroad.
Okay. Out of a yard?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't travel. You go
no,
in
I do,
and...
I do travel.
Oh, you do?
Yes, sir. From Lorton to Boston.
Okay.
And Harris, up to Harrisburg.
So you're brought in by train to fix issues and...
One of my biggest things is the way that Amtrak itself, or the railroad, how they collect data as far as injuries, and they almost get injured. Of course not. But my question is who's keeping track of how many hours of work before the injury happened? How many days did this guy work before he had, the mind slip and actually hurt himself or hurt another brother? How many days did he have without sufficient sleep? And then when we do work overtime, we get 8 hours off the clock, they say. Well, a human body needs 8 hours of sleep, not just 8 hours of not driving a vehicle to get somewhere to fix a piece of equipment. 8 hours off the clock, I might have to drive back to my headquarters. It might be an hour away. So that 8 hours, now it's back to six and to five. How many hours of sleep do I really get before I have to return back to work to make sure that we get the railroad running to keep equipment running?
Yeah, that's brutal. And, of course, as we heard today, people that have followed the industry know they've been one of your main demands is to two men on each train.
Right.
implying that many trains do have only one conductor, right, driving the train.
As far as I'm aware, yes.
Which is inherently unsafe, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They have cameras. They have cameras in the trains to keep an eye on the guy to make sure that he's doing his job. But they don't have a set of hands on task to help the man if there is a problem.
Thank you so much for continuing to put pressure on my colleagues in Congress. Make sure the Senate can hear you loud and clear, especially Republicans in the Senate. Because if it weren't for them, if they did the right thing, you would have 7 days paid sick leave right now. So we are going to continue to fight. We are going to continue to organize. And we're going to continue to make sure that labor, the worker who creates the wealth for these companies, gets their fair share of that wealth.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you being here so much. And I'm going to be very brief because this is common sense. We are the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. We have corporations making record profits, doubling their money year over year over year. We allow them as many stock buybacks as they want, but we continue to give workers and labor the short end of the stick.
That's right.
That ain't right!
Woo!
Say that ain't right!
That ain't right!
With many of my colleagues, like Congressman Andy Levin, let's give him a shout out.
Woo!
Worked an organizer for his entire life. As long as I am here and many of us are here, we got your back. We stand shoulder to shoulder with you. We will fight with you and we will organize with you. And at the end of all this organizing, guess what? We will win.
Right.
Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Do you feel it?
Yeah.
Are you with us?
Yeah.
It's my pleasure to be with you. Let's continue to work, continue to organize, and we will win. Thank you all so much.
That was Representative Jamal Bowman of New York State. And before that, on-the-ground contributor Thomas O'Rourke interviewing a worker at the Rail Solidarity Rally, December 13th on Capitol Hill. This is On the Ground. Stay with us for more voices from the rally, beginning with Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan.
I woke up this morning, y'all. The sun was shining oh so brightly. I thought about how good this life is. Back in the day, it wasn't always like this. I think about the things we done been through. I think about the place that I come from. It wasn't always easy, so every day I'm thanking God for the beautiful people everywhere I go. I just need to see your smiling faces at my show. And when you're feeling real love from the family, every day is a gift, y'all, that's all I need.
What a beautiful life.
All that I've got, all that I need. I've got you, baby, you got me. What more could I ask for? Beautiful life. To get it, then we gotta work hard, y'all. Every day, and don't pay attention to the things they say when they tell you that you can't make it, but you can if you try, y'all. When life is rough, I know sometimes you wanna cry, y'all. Just keep the faith and don't question. Ain't no need of stressing. Your life is still a
it's
blessing.
Not about the cars, the money, or the clothes.
You can believe these things will only come and go, but when you're getting real love from everyone you meet,
blessing, yo. It's magic, yo.
What a beautiful life.
All that I've got, all that I need. I got you, baby, you got me. What more could I ask for? Beautiful life.
And I don't need to tell you all, but I think the folks out there need to know. They deserve paid sick leave.
Yeah.
You know what? Rail workers are essential. Absolutely, employees who work hard through the global pandemic. I'm not telling you all anything new. What I am telling you is that we do live in the richest country on the face of the planet. And no worker should have to choose between their health and a paycheck.
I refuse
to vote to impose a contract that was voted down by four of the major rail unions in our nation. Together, they compromised, 55%.
Yeah.
Why would we go against the workers? I join all of you in solidarity, but I want you to know this. Every single worker in our country should have the right to strike for better working conditions and a better quality of life until their demands are met.
Yeah.
I want you to know, not all my colleagues believe this, but the right to strike, I believe, is the single most powerful tool for our workers to fight injustice and, yes, to fight corporate greed in our country.
Yeah.
As you all know, I joined several of my colleagues in offering an amendment that would ensure that rail workers will receive paid sick leave, sick days, and that they deserve and are demanding. I was proud to vote for this inclusion, but we went a little further. I want you to know that we have led a letter last week with Senator Bernie Sanders, with 70 of my colleagues, calling on President Biden to use his executive action to deliver the paid sick days that rail workers deserve.
Yeah.
I know you all know this, but it is disgraceful that 43 senators with unlimited paid sick leave voted against providing decency of even 7 days of paid sick leave for our rail workers.
Yes, that's right.
You guys know the rail industry made record-breaking profits, $20 billion. And I think didn't one of them just give out big shareholder payouts? Yes. These companies must agree to put health of their employees, the workers, the people that make the money for them. Rail workers deserve the dignity of decent working conditions, y'all. Paid sick days comes with that. We must recognize the basic human dignity of every worker. You know, I took on this fight when I read about a story of a rail worker who decided not to go to that doctor's appointment because he was scheduled to come to work. And I think on the job on that day, he had a heart attack and died. That's not the way to support workers. That is not the way that we sit there and say that we stand for working families and American values, and we allow people to go to work sick, to miss doctor's appointments, to not be able to be there for their families. I don't know about you all, but you know how many folks, you can't plan a funeral. You can't plan these days off. We know that. But these paid sick days are essential. It is human dignity. It's saying if you got that fever, if you're sick, you're not doing well, stay home, take care of yourself. Come back when you're ready. 7 days ain't nothing, y'all.
That's
nothing.
Right.
I think they asked for more. They couldn't even roll for one.
That's right.
So know this. We cannot allow corporate greed to become the disease it is already and continue to kill workers and our families. We already see it in the healthcare system. We can't allow it to be in this industry as well, especially when they took your right to strike away. So know you always have a fighter and an ally in the United States Congress. Keep this up. You give credibility for members like myself and others who said enough. Corporations should not have this much power over the people's Congress. No industry should have this amount of power. You all matter and you're important. And we got to show it with our votes. Thank you so much.
Right here at Benning Yard, Southeast D.C., less than 3 miles away from this Capitol. On Easter Sunday, I had to walk through a crime scene twice, a fresh crime scene that didn't even have the tape up. The body was still there. It finally affected me. This is the third body I found at my terminal, and I had to take time off. But my company couldn't allow me to take time off. I had to go ahead and just leave the job. I tied my train down and said, I have to go get some help. I called our employee assistance program. They were no help. They said they can't do anything for us. The very next day that I came back, I had a letter charging me with a serious offense that said you are going to be terminated if it goes against you. But we can't afford to go ahead and have you terminated right now, and you need to still listen on this list. So I took that moment, and I put it together for the Surface Transportation Board, and I put it as a testimony. I put it as my testimony of what I have to deal with, that I am so important that they want to fire me, but they can't afford to fire me. And that's what we deal with every day. I have delivered coal for this Capitol to make sure that the lights stayed on so they could appease the coal miners that are still on strike for 610 plus days there in McCalla, Alabama. And they still look at our workforce with only 10% of the workforce being organized labor. 12.5 million people in the United States are organized labor, and they are always trying to crush us. And why is that, you might ask? It's because we are an effective threat to what they could go ahead and make for profit. We stand up for people that can't be stand up for themselves, and we will do it every single day, and we will not rest until they completely crush us, because they start the fights, and what do we do? Thank you.
We got Secretary Treasurer of the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association showing solidarity with rail workers here, Roland Rexel.
We're proud to be here and stand with our brothers and sisters in rail. You know, what's going on, what's happened to you guys, and over the 6 days, over the time off, is a shame, honestly. It's embarrassing that we're a first world country and we're treating our workers like third world citizens.
That's right.
We need to change that. We need to do something. And honestly, I'm glad we're here standing together and supporting our brothers and sisters and going forward. I don't want to keep it too long, but I'm really proud to be here with my partners in labor, showing support for them. And we gotta stick together on this. Time to stay solid on this. Solidarity and honestly, organization. This is the way we beat them. So, thank you everybody.
Is it important that, since y'all are out here today, I know it's important to you, right? You must be taking time off or taking time away from your family or yourself. Is it important to stand up for other unions and other struggles that other workers are dealing with?
Yes. Support is a big thing. Like, being in a union, a brother and sisterhood, like, always means a lot. Because they will do the same for us, and we doing the same for them.
Exactly. The same way that we're out here supporting them. When our time comes and we want to fight for something for our union, for something we want to change, we want the same for us.
No one should have to sacrifice their health to be able to take care of their family. No one should have to work when they're sick because they have to, because they can't afford to take that time off. That's not fair to anyone.
So, Nick Torres, right?
Yes.
And where do you work?
I worked in Collinwood in Cleveland, Ohio, local 378.
Okay. And what was your role? What did you do?
I was a freight train engineer on CSX. It was a rail carrier.
And why are you out here today?
I'm out here to show solidarity with the other rail unions and everyone else that's gonna be able to come out and show support for our paid sick leave and also for two-person crew and really just to stand up to corporate greed and rail carriers and stress the need for them to treat us like human beings, because in a lot of ways the rail carriers and the railroads themselves just go too far. They treat us pretty horribly.
How have you been treated on the job? But you know, when you're on the railway working with CSX.
Well, paid sick leave would be important for me because I have a chronic health condition, and sometimes I have flare ups, and it's really rough being on the railroad. People don't understand like what being in the operating cab of a locomotive does to you. It's not like riding on a commuter train or light rail. A lot of times you're getting tossed around. The trackage now is worse than it's ever been because of PSR. They cut our maintenance weight brothers. The trackage, it's not taken care of like it used to be. Every little defect on the railroad, when you're in that cab of that locomotive, you feel it times 10. So it's not a good place to be if you have a spine issue getting tossed around in the cab of the locomotive.
And what is PSR? It's in the press a lot, and I think if you read deep in it, you see. But just tell people, for listeners, what is PSR?
All right, PSR, it's just a scheduled railroading. It's basically, it's a business model that came from a Canadian executive on one of the Canadian class ones, and it comes with a lot of slashing. So they cut they started cutting even before the pandemic. They kept at it. They cut too deep. They tried to recall people back. People didn't feel they were being treated very well, so they didn't come back. But Precision Scheduled Railroading is basically cutting as much as you can to squeeze every bit of profit that you can out of your industry. So train lengths got a lot larger. Jobs, assignments have fewer people on them. You may have had like a 3-man yard crew, goes down to 2, can go down to 1 when they use a remote pack to control the locomotive. The number of assignments are fewer, trains get longer. That's not good for the crews, it's not good for the communities. You know, the railroad doesn't care that they have your crossing blocked for all day because the crew ran out of time. And, you know, Gam Gam might need to get to the hospital. And that might not be able to happen if there's a crossing block. So, you know, that's a lot of the downside of PSR.
Doesn't sound safe either. I mean, from what you're saying, you know, it can maximize.
I don't believe it maximizes safety in any shape, form, or fashion. You're basically, you know, when you're running leaner, you have fewer people in your work group. The people that are left are working far more. We work on call 6 days a week. So, you know, sometimes you might be just getting ready to go to bed and get called. Now you work all day. Then they cut so thin, as soon as you're rested, you're back out again. And that can happen for your string of your whole 6 days. So what do you end up doing on your one day off? You just sleep it all day. You don't get anything done, right? And so everybody out there is just walking zombies. It's not safe.
I mean, that's also, this is a really good point, and I'll let you go in just a second, but that also sounds like a really good way to make sure that people don't organize, or that people, you know, don't have enough energy to, you know, to really get out here and actually be here, but there's people here.
Absolutely. They don't want you involved in your labor organization. You know, they'll do anything they can to cause drama between, the labor organization and the workforce. They definitely walk that fine line when it comes to what you can legally do, you know, in regards to organizing.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Hello. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
What's your name?
Bryce Jones.
Bryce Jones. Bryce, why are you out here today?
I'm out here to support my union brothers and sisters who work in the rail transportation area of our same union.
You're in the same union.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm a sheet metal apprentice, and I work around here in the D.C. area on the metro stations.
So you help build and maintain metro, part of the metro system.
Yeah, mostly the elevators and escalators. That's
oh, geez. Oh, yeah. Yes. How long you been doing that?
I've been doing it for a year now.
Yeah.
But I've been an apprentice for almost 3 years.
Okay. Well, what do you think about the whole controversy about this? Do you think the railroad workers should strike? Do you think if they struck, they'd win, as we've heard today? And obviously, if they did strike, they'd be defying some laws. What do you think of that whole situation?
I'd hope they wouldn't have to strike.
Of course not.
The legislation would be passed regardless if they stroke or not. But if it doesn't, and they don't get a fair deal or bargaining agreement, that they should strike, even if there's laws that go against it and stuff like that. That's what strikes have always been. It's always been to get the message across, because that's the only way that we can fight.
Some people call it a slave labor act. If a union cannot strike and do it legally, but has to do it illegally, it's almost like they're slaves to whatever is imposed on them.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
If they don't have their right to strike, then what's the point of having the union in the first place? And even if you're not in it, you still should be allowed to strike, like how all the Starbucks and stuff, they've been trying to unionize, but they keep getting laid off or the store gets shut down. It's all part of the same workers' rights activism. That's what I don't know.
Okay. But, Bryce, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for talking to me. Okay, bye-bye.
That last voice you heard was Bryce Jones, sheet metal apprentice, speaking with On the Ground contributor Thomas O'Rourke. Before that, interviews with workers by Breakthrough News producer Nicole Russell. And before that, Roland Rexa, secretary treasurer of the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association, and rail worker Johnny Walker. That group of voices from the December 13th Rail Solidarity Rally on Capitol Hill started with Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. This is On the Ground. Stay with us.
We'll believe in freedom and our
freedom can arrest.
We who believe in freedom can arrest until it comes.
I'm a woman.
I'm a woman who speaks in a voice. And I must be heard. At times I can be quite different.
This is On the Ground, onthegroundshow.org, Voices of Resistance from the nation's capital. I'm Esther Averam. And now I'm joined by On the Ground contributor Thomas O'Rourke, who was on Capitol Hill Tuesday, December 13th for that Rail Solidarity Day that we just heard voices from. Thank you for joining me to follow up, Thomas.
Pleasure to be here with you, Esther. Thank you.
Well, first, I assume that the lawmakers we heard speak, Pramila Jayapal, a few other people, Jamal Bowman. I assume that these are the lawmakers who actually voted for the amendment for the rail workers to get paid sick leave. And so I'm wondering, despite that solidarity and these Democrats mainly coming out, even though there was one Republican, I think, was there any pushback or murmurs that you heard about the fact that the amendment for 6 days was separated out from the original legislation in the first place, which gave Republicans and other more corporate friendly lawmakers the opportunity to squash their right for sick days?
Not that I heard, Esther. All the speakers were very sort of enthusiastic and promising to fight, both the Congress people and the union officials. The rank and file people that I spoke to, who didn't necessarily speak publicly, were there to show support and solidarity for their brothers on the rail lines. Some of them are support or various different unions, but none of them made any sort of critique of the intricacies of, the Democratic Party strategy over this. Nor did anyone point out that, it was a Democratic president that signed the legislation, killing any strike potential. No,
right.
No mention of that.
Right. Now, there are reports that this really, what I think is just horrible, disgusting treatment of these workers
will lead more of them to quit. And so there are there any updates on the sentiments of the workers around this? You know, we know that they say they're willing to fight, but are some of them also ready to quit?
That's hard to say. I think that's an individual thing. Several of the rank and file workers I spoke to, I asked if they, you know, imagine themselves retiring as railway men, and they all said yes, that the pay was good. It's just that the working conditions are very difficult, and sort of it's a question of individual ability to endure. But certainly on the sort of collective side, many of the slogans I saw, things like public safety is non-negotiable, and this so-called PSR, precision scheduled railroading, which is the company's phrase for their strategy, literally should be rephrased as people and safety are rejected. So, you know, they're very unhappy with the current situation. There are many trains that operate with simply one human being on that train. So I saw a slogan saying, two on a crew, make it through. So many of these trains only have one person, which means they, you know, that person has a diabetic, attack or any health issue. According to some, there are cameras that will alert the company that the crewman suddenly isn't doing his job, but very little can do to help them or back them up when it comes to their personal health and safety.
Right. So, I mean, you point out in the interviews that the rail workers will not strike. And so what will happen next? And I'm kind of wanting to get your overall sense of how this labor, you know, dispute and this labor struggle really fits into the overall picture for workers right now. We have a number of more service-oriented workers, like at Starbucks and Amazon, and other workers, you know, at some of these big box stores, going out on strike and, you know, making their voices heard in terms of labor conditions. So how do you think this action by the rail workers fits into that?
Well, it's clear from several speakers I spoke to, but also, you know, just our knowledge of the history, the Railway Labor Act of 1926, that, you know, the American government and the American ruling class has always seen rail as a strategic industry. They consider it vital to the operations of capitalism by supplying, bringing in supplies to factories in so-called just-in-time timing. Everyone knows that it's been deemed illegal to strike, but of course, people don't realize that there was all kinds of delays and government ploys to stave off this confrontation till the very end, and that's when the government intervened and said it will be declared illegal. The workers are frustrated by that. They know a strike could win. They know a strike would be powerful, but they're not getting that much encouragement from their own leadership, and sort of being told they've, you know, must endure and sort of bank on the lobbying of friends in high places on Capitol Hill to eventually get something close to what they're demanding now.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely keep covering this story here from DC. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Esther.
Vida que vendrá, de que lucha el pueblo va a triunfar, será mejor la vida. Just like letter carriers, rail workers are essential workers. Throughout the pandemic, just like you, we came to work every day to keep our country moving. My members work long hours in extreme conditions, rain, snow, extreme temperatures. You do the same. Since 2015, the seven largest railroads have made record profits. I understand totaling nearly $150 billion. And in that same time frame since 2015, those same companies have cut tens of thousands of jobs and 30% of your workforce. Most rail workers don't have sick time. And I understand are also often denied the ability to use your personal time when you are sick. You should not be forced to work when you are sick. Right. You should not have to choose between taking care of yourself and your family and keeping your job.
Right.
Federal workers, including members of Congress, have sick leave, and you should too.
There it is.
All this is happening because of a business model that has prioritized greed over treating workers fairly. And ultimately, that business model is the underlying disease that is rotting this industry, and it's time for change. The 300,000 members of my union, the National Association of Letter Carriers, stand with you now, and we will do so every day until workers are treated fairly and give you the opportunity to provide the public service to America's railways. Brothers and sisters, we stand with you. We will fight with you. And we stand together. When we fight, we win. Thank you.
Thanks for letting me join y'all today. I believe in transportation safety. Ultimately, this is what this is all about. So I take care of the workers and the people on riding our rails. So I just want to say thanks for what you do. We go back 150 years, roughly, the railroads and the railroad workers have been the backbone of this country, the economic backbone. And I appreciate that. My grandfather was a railroad engineer, started in 1939, and he did it for 50 years, or 40 years, excuse me. And one day in 1979, a switchman accidentally put him into a parked train, and he was in a hospital for a couple of months, but he always told me how the union protected him.
Right.
And made sure they got all those benefits and was taken care of. That was his last train ride. So as I come from a railroad family.
Yes.
My Hungarian side of my family are all the railroads. And that's a part of my DNA. Now when it comes to sick days, I like having them. Everybody likes having them. You should have them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it's part of being human. You should be able to, if you got a cold or you got COVID, you should not have to worry about going to work. You should be able to get paid for it. Secondly, when it comes to a two-man crew, I flew in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force for 30 years. We fly with a pilot and a co-pilot. If we have a single fighter F-16, we fly with two F-16s to support each other and make sure we have safety. It is about safety. So anyway, I was proud to vote with you all last week and I'll stand by you. Thank you very much. We're going to hand it over to Pennsylvania.
When I got interviewed, on a couple of the Sunday shows because I was, you know, the Republican out there saying we got to get this across the finish line. I'm the co-lead of the PRO Act, by the way, so this is not easy. This is not hard for me, I should say, at all. And that was the point I brought across. Take care of your people. As members of Congress, we got to take care of our staff. We got to make sure that they're spending time with their family, that if they're sick, that they have time off to go to the doctor, that they need mental health days, that they take the mental health days, that they spend time with their families. Because at the end of the day, that makes them stronger, better employees. It's that simple. This is about supporting human beings. That's what it's about. So I will say this, and this has been the message that we've been sharing with all of our colleagues. There's so much bad messaging out there when it comes to a lot of these bills. So when they talked about a 22-24% pay raise, it was kind of a fact that they left out that you hadn't gotten a pay raise in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And most of it was retroactive. And only a small part of it, 10%, was going forward. They didn't mention the fact that your sick leave time is not on par with other, even other unions out there.
Nice.
So this is about fairness. This is about equity. And most importantly, it's about taking care of people. Because we all have a limited time on this planet. If you don't focus on taking care of your brothers and sisters and your coworkers, then what the heck are you doing, right? That's what we're about here. So, listen, you have, I just want you to know, you have people like me and Don that will always make this bipartisan, and that's important. And we will do our part to try to grow our numbers here to make sure you're taken care of. Because at the end of the day, it's about taking care of people. And by the way, you're easy people to take care of because you are salt of the earth human beings. You're our kind of people, so God bless you.
What do we want?
Safety!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Safety!
When do we want it?
Now!
When we fight?
We win!
When we fight?
We win!
When we fight?
We win!
The struggle you are fighting is not just within the rail industry. You are putting a spotlight on the fact that the billionaires in this country have never had it so good, while workers in terms of wages and working conditions are falling further behind. So together, we're going to do our job in transforming this economy so that we create an economy and a government that works for all, not just Warren Buffett and the other billionaires. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Senator Sanders.
And Senator Bernie Sanders will have the last word on today's show. He was speaking at the Rail Solidarity Rally on Capitol Hill on December 13th. Before him was Representative Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Representative Don Bacon of Nebraska, and Brian Renfro, Executive Vice President and President-elect of the National Association of Letter Carriers. This is On the Ground, onthegroundshow.org, Voices of Resistance from the Nation's Capital. We're on 24 stations on the Pacifica Radio Network and on all your podcast platforms at On the Ground with Esther Ivarum. Our website and archive of all of our shows is onthegroundshow.org. In addition, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and I also link to every show on my Instagram page at Esther_Ivarum. That's I, V like Victor, E-R-E-M. Special thank you to all of our supporters on Patreon.com at On the Ground Show. The music we played this hour included Beautiful Life by DC's own Chuck Brown featuring Wale, Ella's Song by the Resistance Revival Chorus, and El Pueblo Unido Jamás Será Vencido by Inti Illimani. Our theme music for the show is Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix. I'm Esther Ivarum. Until next time, take good care and keep raising your voice. Peace.
This is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Monday,
December 19th at 10:30 a.m., The Gate, the Exonerated Five, formerly known as the Central Park Five, used to enter in Central Park, will be named The Gate of the Exonerated. The ceremony is at 110th Street between Fifth Avenue and Malcolm X Boulevard in Harlem.
You are all welcome to come and bring your families. The members of the Five, with the exception of Antron McCray, who will not be able to attend, we're all going to be there. Our families are going to be there. The boys, now men, are going to be there. And we're hoping that you all come out and join us. It's going to be a great time.
Again, December 19th at 10:30 a.m., 110th Street, between Fifth Avenue and Malcolm X Boulevard. It's the first time in 100 years that a gate will be named in Central Park. This gate of the exonerated represents people who were convicted and exonerated of crimes they did not commit. Innocent people who are still behind bars waiting for exoneration. And for those freed fighting to exonerate their names.
Like many of you, like many Americans, I have felt frustrated and betrayed by the state of the mainstream media in this country. A media whose priorities seem out of step with their responsibilities. We need a media that strengthens democracy, not a media that strengthens the government. We need a media that enriches public discourse, not one that enriches corporations.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
A station dedicated to and sponsored by its listeners. From 1960 to present day, WBAI has been promoting an innovative perspective of news, public affairs, music, arts, health, and science. In order to provide a truly unique voice to New York City, WBAI receives its financial assistance from listeners like you. To help WBAI continue this tradition, you can become a BAI buddy by giving a generous monthly donation of as little as $10. It's a safe, secure, and simple way to support your local station. To become a BAI buddy, go to give2wbai.org. That's give, the number 2, wbai.org.
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Listener-sponsored commercial free radio. It's just about 11 a.m. here in New York City. Usually we would be bringing you Heart of Mind with Catherine Davis. The program is preempted this week and we'll be back on air at 11 a.m. next Friday. Please do stay tuned.